Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 22nd, 2023. 3 days till Christmas, everyone. Oh, I can't believe it. Joining me in the studio are three friends and Pastor Jason Schiffel, I guess four friends. And we're going to cover some of the Christmas story. It's 3 days away. Hopefully you're enjoying the season of Advent and hopefully not so busy that you're missing out on some of the things the Lord would love to reveal to you, and being cheerful because you carry that good news message of Jesus. And this is the time when many people are receptive. So remember, bring someone to church with you on Sunday, or if you have a special service Saturday night or this weekend, think of somebody that you can bring. Invite them over for dinner or take them out afterwards, but many people don't go to church because they're never invited. So be intentional. Pray about who God might put on your heart and then call them up and invite them.
Well, yeah, they say in one of those songs, right, the most wonderful time of the year. And for me, Christmas is more and more as I get older about memories. You know, the different memories that happen. And a lot of that is because you have traditions that you have that happen at Christmas time. You gather together family that you might not see at different times of the year. And so, do you guys have any great Christmas memories that you remember from Christmases past?
From our family or from when I was little?
Either one.
I always remember our Christmas when the whole family, when my grandmother would come and my uncles. And we lived on a farm out in the country. So it was back in the, what'd you say, the old times. And we hope that there wasn't too much snow.
Everybody, my kids like to say that we all lived in the time when the dinosaurs ruled the earth. That's what they say when they say the old times. My son always says, you're from the 80s, like it was in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Well, one of my most treasured memories when I was a kid was Christmas stories. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't grow up in a home where we went to church when I was young and any of that kind of thing. But my grandmother loved Christmas stories. Every Christmas Eve, we would read The Night Before Christmas, in fact, to the point to where we knew it by heart as little kids. But we would also watch A Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. We loved Christmas stories. In fact, my grandmother loved when Channel 9, we were up in the Chicagoland area, would air It's a Wonderful Life 24 hours on Channel 9. And you'd be able to watch it at least one whole time or multiple times throughout the day, to the point where we could just quote it. You know, I want a big one, a really big one. You know, we loved it. But what's interesting is that for all the stories that I knew growing up, all the memories I have of all these amazing Christmas stories, it wasn't until later in life that I really, really heard the most important Christmas story. You know, the Christmas story that happened so many thousands of years ago, where there were no stockings and no trees, no candies and no chocolates, no presents and really no gifts. It's a Christmas that doesn't look anything like the Christmases that we have now, yet it is the most important story that we can tell on Christmas. And the story begins in Luke chapter 2, where it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world, meaning all the Roman world, should be registered. Now, I love this that it says in those days, because that means that's the same days that the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary, the days when John was born, the days when Herod and the days of Caesar, when the days when the Roman world ruled the earth, really, or ruled at least the known world. And it was also in those days that, like today, our world was hungry for hope. Hungry for salvation. And so it says, it goes on, it says, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Now this is a registration, some translations will say census also. It was used for the purpose of taxation, to count your stuff. Caesar wanted to know how much stuff he had. So he had his buddy Quirinius go and employ this census. And on the surface, this census seems political. It seems about taxation. It seems about all that. But actually, this census is where God is moving history to do something amazing and miraculous. This registration will serve as the way that God will bring his appointed servants at the appointed time. Remember Galatians 4:4? But at the when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman and born under the law. God is going to use this moment in time and this registration to orchestrate a movement of his people to get them exactly where he wants them. As my kids like to remind me, history is his story. Mm-hmm. And this is the perfect time, right? Because if we look historically, there was great anticipation amongst the Jews for a Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. We see that all throughout the Gospels as Jesus is moving from town to town and place to place. People are searching for hope. They're searching for a Savior. And we talked about how the Roman world, the known world, was the Roman world. And that world was under what they call the Pax Romana, which meant that it was safe travel from place to place to place to place. That as the gospel is born into this world through Jesus Christ, it could be carried into all the world. Also, the Greek language, much like English, was the standard language of the day, meaning that everybody spoke one common language, so you could talk about your faith, you could share your faith with people, and they would understand it. And also, and I think this is the most important thing, because this reminds me of today, that at that point, philosophy, science, and academics, as good as they were, they left people spiritually empty. They were ready to believe. They were ready to encounter true faith. And so God goes to a place where nothing seems good to come from, and he finds a humble people in a humble place to be his humble witness for the greatness of his power. And it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 3, "And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." Hmm. Now, who are Mary and Joseph?
Jesus' parents.
Right.
Jesus' parents.
That's really all we know. Up to this point, Mary and Joseph are really nobodies. They're nobodies. But listen, everybody is somebody in the kingdom of God, because God knows who they are. The Bible says in Galatians, it's not that you know God, but rather that you are known by God. And God knows these people. And he moves them and uses them in his story. And he brings them to Bethlehem, which means, does anybody know what it means?
House of bread.
The house of bread. Isn't that really interesting that that is where the bread of life will be born into this world? But not only that, Bethlehem is also the place where Rachel was buried in Genesis 25, where Ruth gleaned grain and married Boaz, where David was born and tended sheep and was anointed as a man after God's own heart, and where this child that God is sending into the world will be born.
And Jason, we've been there and sung Christmas carols overlooking Bethlehem.
Right,
remember?
There at Shepherd's Fields.
Yep.
And the interesting thing is we can build up in our mind by reading the text that it's some amazing place. But it's, when you get there, it's actually very ordinary. But listen, every ordinary place is extraordinary if we understand that God is at work in it. Mm-hmm. And so every place you go to and you're like, this is just ordinary. No. It is extraordinary if you acknowledge that God is at work there. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. I love this verse. The reason I love this verse is because this verse is so simple, and yet it says something that is so overwhelming. It seems so simple. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And yet every single one of us who celebrate a spiritual birthday through Jesus Christ are attached to this moment. Because this moment is overwhelming. It's so magnificent. It's so incredible. God is entering into, in the flesh, humanity. And doing it in such a way that should just blow our minds. Because many of us, including the Jews at the time, if God was going to enter into the world, we wanted to come on like a flaming chariot, you know, with horses in front of him, with a sword in his hand. And yet here, this baby is going to be born in humility and weakness. Because God says throughout his scriptures that weakness is actually where strength is found, because it's acknowledging that the Lord is your strength. And that's what Jesus continually did. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. I only do what the Father wants me to do. I'm always listening for the Father. I operate in the Father's strength. And it says that she gave birth to her firstborn son. and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. Listen, this time and our time are not that different. There was still no room at the inn for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it says in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now, what do you guys know about the shepherds?
The shepherds that take care of the sheep.
Okay.
They weren't really popular. They were not well regarded. A lot of people thought that they were just the lowest caste because they kept animals. And they lived outdoors day and night.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. What strange to me, it says they kept their flocks by night. And I was always under the impression that they would take the sheep in at night and kind of protect them. So that's what always amazed me on this, in the story.
Yeah.
When you talk about that at night.
Oh, they were the lowest rung in the social situation. They weren't to be trusted. Many of them seemingly might have been scoundrels, or they couldn't do anything else. They were smelly. They were discarded. They weren't integrated into the community.
It's so incredible to me that, because you're right, everything we're saying is right. But do you know what the sheep that they tended on those fields were used for?
I think that was the herd that belonged to the temple for the sacrifices.
Right, right. Yeah, for the holy sacrifices that were made at the temple, the lowest of the low, the unsavory, they had no esteem in the society, that was their job. And they were dirty and uncleaned, and they were considered to live on the fringes. Also, in some of the texts that I read, it said that shepherds could not hold any office of importance, and they also could not testify in a court in terms of crimes or that. One commentary I read said this: there is no more disreputable occupation than that of a shepherd. Now, why do we talk about all that? Why are the shepherds in this story? I think the shepherds are amongst the cast of people in this story that God is orchestrating that you would not have picked. You would not have picked Mary and Joseph. Nobody's from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. We're going to hear that in John chapter 1. And then here, we've got the unpickable. The people you don't pick for your team. And yet I think that gives us one of the great truths, that God picks the unpickable, that God uses the things that society says are unusual. In fact, in one place in the Bible, it says that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yes.
This is good news for people who go, I'm on the fringes. I'm not good enough. I don't know if God will love me. Really? When God wanted to testify to bringing the Savior into the world, what did he choose? He chose people who were on the fringes. Chose people whom society had an opinion of. And God says, no. I have a different opinion. And like we already said, it's interesting that these were the guys who were actually tending to the sheep that would be used for the sacrifice in the temple. So wouldn't it be fitting that they would be the first one to hear the announcement that the Lamb of God was coming into the world? That the ultimate sacrifice at the temple, Jesus Christ himself, is coming into the world, that they would be the first one to shepherd this good news? And that's what happens, right? Luke 2:9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Why do you think they were filled with great fear?
Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
I mean, you're laying around the campfire, keeping an eye on the sheep, and all of a sudden, this glowing, much larger than a normal human person, appears in the sky above you, and I'm sure that his voice just resounded and scared the daylights out of him.
Yeah. One of the things I thought about recently, because I've read this verse over and over again, it's one of my favorite verses, is that all the things that God is are not natural to us. God's grace and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness and all of those things are not natural to us. And so when I encounter God in the fullness of who he is, his presence, I become fearful, not because I'm afraid of God, because he outs me for how far I'm living from his ways. Mm. And he incites in me the fear that I need to change, that I have to go differently because I want to follow Jesus. I can't follow my own way. In fact, that's one of the things that we find out as we go through the Gospels after Jesus is born into this world and begins his ministry, that people want to go their own way. And then the angels say, listen, don't be afraid. Why? For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
Is that your favorite verse, that one?
Both of them are. This whole run of verses I love. But I love this because this is a joy, this good news and this great joy. It's for everybody, from the lowest to the highest, from the poorest to the richest, from the most entitled to those who have no titles. It is for everyone, for all people. It's for us and it's for our neighbors. It's for the people that we meet along the way. It's for everyone throughout all of history. This baby that's born for you is born for you and you and you and you. Everybody who we meet today as we're growing, wherever we're going, that baby was born for them. For all the people. And this is a fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12, which says all the nations will be blessed. This is the effect of the gospel, that this good news comes for all people. And isn't it interesting that that particular wording is used in announcing this to the people who were considered to be the lowest in society? Because immediately, if you said, I come bearing good news of great joy, they might go, well, that can't be for us because you don't know about how bad we are. You don't know how horrible we are. There's nothing good for us. There's no good news for us. And the angel says, no, no, good news of great joy that will be for all the people, including you. Mm-hmm. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is the office of the Messiah. That's why it doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Christ the Lord. He is Lord over everything, all creation and all things. And he has been anointed and appointed and sent by God for that specific purpose. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby. Listen to how crazy this sounds. Mm-hmm. Born unto you is a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Now go and find him. It's going to be a baby. That's not what you expect. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. In our Advent reading the other night, my son said, Dad, this is pretty amazing, because how many babies may have been born that night? And babies would naturally be wrapped in swaddling clothes, wouldn't it? So God, in his infinite grace and wisdom, however he works, sectioned off this moment where there would only be one baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. It would be unmistakable.
And lying in a manger.
And lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
You know, I just thought about that verse that Jesus refers to, where if they didn't cry out, the rocks would.
Yeah.
And here's the angels couldn't contain themselves in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. John Piper says one angel can bring the good news, but it does not suffice for one angel to respond to the good news. The news is so magnificent that it demands an army of angels to respond. Mm-hmm. And what do they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. It's not enough to just receive good news. They act upon it. See, that's... You can say you believe all kinds of things about Jesus, but until you actually start to do what Jesus commanded you to do and live like Jesus commanded you to do, that's when you actually say that you believed. That's when you prove your belief. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. By the way, when people find out about Jesus in the Gospels, they always move quickly. Mm-hmm. They run to the tomb. They make haste. Why? Because good news gets you moving. Sometimes I think our lethargy is because we're too involved in bad news, not good news. Good news gets us moving. With haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Because this is exactly what the angel Gabriel announced to her. Now, this is what I love about this moment with these shepherds. And I really want to key in and focus on the shepherds, because I think that we have a bunch of shepherds listening right now. Hmm. Probably have a lot more shepherds listening than we know. A lot of people who feel like they're on the outs, they live on the fringes, maybe not good enough for God. Listen, in this moment, the shepherd's position in society didn't change. What society said about them didn't change. How they were viewed didn't change. What did change?
Their view of themselves.
Yes. And that they had heard the invitation of God and went to see his work, to be a part of what God was doing. They decided in their hearts with haste that they would be a part of good news and great joy. Mm-hmm. Because why? For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I would challenge anybody who's listening right now, take the you out there and put your name. For unto Elmer this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto Gail this day a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. For unto Tad this day a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. He didn't come to die for some person over there. He came first and foremost to die for you, that you might carry that message of good news and great joy to the nations, so that all who are living in and out and above and oh, wherever they're at would hear that this baby came into the world for them. And listen, this is what the shepherds say. It says in the 2:20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. That's another one where I would take the word shepherds out and put your name. And Mark returned after hearing this good news, glorifying and praising God for all that he had seen and heard. All of us, that should be our story. We read this story about Jesus coming into the world, God coming into history. And if we are not left returning and glorifying and praising, then we have to talk about what's going on in our hearts, because we have received good news of great joy that is for all the people.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Listening friend, does God's favor rest on you? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? If some of these concepts maybe are new or you've never experienced God's love for you, he does love you. He cares for you. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be born into this world, but more than that, to suffer for our sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he will return as Lord and Savior. May he be your Lord and Savior today and always. Call out to him and he'll answer. He'll reveal himself to you. And if this is a new concept and you want to talk to somebody about it, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. They'll answer your questions about the Christian faith. Who is Jesus? Why you can trust the Bible? What does it mean to be a follower of his? I hope that you'll make that call and ask Jesus into your heart this very day. And be sure to get into church this Sunday as they celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And some of you on this Friday are fretting because you don't know what to get somebody. You have a gift list and you're not sure what that person needs. I'm going to tell you what they need. Good news and great joy. And you can give it to them and it will cost you nothing because Jesus already paid for it all.
Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.